Open your Bibles again to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20. And there we read, "He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming soon,' or 'I am coming quickly.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." It's not my intent this afternoon to give a detailed exposition of that verse. We will probably come back to it later in this brief series of sermons on the second coming of Christ, when we look in a measure of detail at the day of judgment associated with his second coming. So down the road we'll look at it in more detail, and we'll see all the context of it to the rest of the chapter. But today I just want to share with you just a few thoughts in relationship to the second coming of the Lord, a few short thoughts in preparation for our coming to the Lord's Supper. Certainly there is an eschatological or a future-oriented attitude that we ought to have when we come to the supper. Our brother prayed this morning when he asked for God's blessing upon the Lord's Supper, that we come looking to the return of Christ. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me. Do this until I come again." So the last time, a couple of weeks ago, we considered the promise of his return from 2 Peter chapter 3. And then, as I mentioned earlier, next week we will take up the nature of his coming, specifically from Romans, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. Every eye shall see him, behold him. We'll talk about what it is that they will see as described for us in Revelation 1. When Jesus returns, as we're told here in Revelation 22, there is going to be a day of judgment, a day of judgment when all people are called to account. I don't know if you've ever read from our confession, but I thought it'd be worthwhile just to take the time. If you want to take in your hymnal, then in the very back of the hymnal is our confession of faith. And it's page 687. It's chapter 32. Chapter 32 of our confession. And I was just going to read the third paragraph, but let's go ahead and take the time to read the first, second, and third paragraph. God has appointed a day wherein he will judge the world in righteousness by Jesus Christ. And brethren, that was an essential part of apostolic preaching. You remember the Apostle Paul, when he preached the gospel to the philosophers in Acts chapter 17, was very clear on that point. A central theme to apostolic preaching was the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ the second time, and this time in royal judgment, by which he will judge the world in righteousness by Jesus. I'll try not to stop. I'll just try to read this now. "To whom all power and judgment is given of the Father, in which day not only the apostate angels shall be judged, but likewise all persons that have lived upon the earth shall appear before the tribunal of Christ to give an account of their thoughts, words, and deeds, and to receive according to what they have done in the body, whether good or evil. The end of God's appointing this day is for the manifestation of the glory of his mercy in the eternal salvation of the elect, and of his justice in the eternal damnation of the reprobate, who are wicked and disobedient. For then shall the righteous go into everlasting life and receive that fullness of joy and glory with everlasting reward in the presence of the Lord. But the wicked, who know not God and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ, shall be cast into eternal torments and punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." as Christ would have us, to be certainly persuaded that there shall be a day of judgment, both to deter all men from sin, and for the greater consolation of the godly in their adversity, so will he have that day unknown to men, that they may shake off all carnal security and be always watchful, because they know not at what hour the Lord will come, and may ever be prepared to say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." Amen. So we read there a number of things, but for those opposed to God, there is coming a day that they will be cast into hell, everlasting punishment, in the presence of God's wrath. The elect, those who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, will be with God in the fullness of joy and peace and blessing forever. It's interesting that we talked about God being the rewarder this morning of those who seek him. And the reward is God himself. Now, these realities that I just read to you from those three paragraphs in chapter 32 of our confession, and of course that confession is not inspired. We don't claim it to be inspired. We refer to it as a secondary standard. It is, we believe in sola scriptura, but we do believe that that confession is biblical, and that it is based upon the Word of God. We hold to it as the teaching position of the church, what we believe the Bible teaches about these subjects. And so those realities are summed up in Revelation 22, those realities that are in paragraphs 1, 2, and 3. Stressing over and again words of eternal life and eternal curse. And the last words, of the Bible, verse 20, last words are important, wouldn't you agree? And the last words of the Bible are about what? God's grace in Christ Jesus. I think that's so significant. And there in verse 20, you see that word, amen. That word, amen, literally it means yes, indeed. And it emphasizes, or it underscores, that these words, these words that precede it in Revelation 22, these words of both warning and grace are faithful and true, and they are very important to be taken seriously. That's what that amen means. We ought to be looking for Christ to come again. I talked last time, we talked about the scoffers in the world. That in the days of Peter and the Christians who were being slandered because of scoffers who were denying the promise of his coming. Where is the promise of his coming? Well, we ought to be looking for Christ to come again. And the day, of course, as we all know, is concealed from us. So far as God's revealed will is concerned, so far as all that we read here in Holy Scripture of God's will concerning the second coming of Christ, all things are ready and fulfilled. And so, brethren, Jesus may return any day from now on. So far as his secret will is concerned, you know what I mean by his secret will? Things like, how many more elect must be called? How many more must be added to the body of Christ? Well, we don't know. We don't know how many, and we don't know how long. But one thing the Bible teaches is that the Lord Jesus is coming soon. I really prefer the King James here, which uses the word quickly. if we think about it, they're really telling us the same thing. The meaning is, he is going to return, the Lord Jesus, he is going to return suddenly. He's going to return unexpectedly. He's going to return like a thief in the night. That's what it means when he says, behold, I come soon, or behold, I come quickly, suddenly, unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. Go back to Revelation chapter 3. And we see this imagery over and again. Well, this is to the church at Sardis that needed to repent. And the Lord Jesus says to them in verse 2, wake up. In verse 3, remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. Revelation chapter 16. And verse 15. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Chapter 22 and verse 7. And behold, I am coming soon or quickly. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. And then down in verse 12 of the same chapter, behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay everyone for what he has done. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, and verse 39, but know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Verse 4. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. 2 Peter chapter 3, the passage we looked at a couple of weeks ago. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up, and so on. And of course, we have the very instructive parables of Matthew 24, the fig tree, and Matthew 25, the 10 virgins, and the talents, teaching us something of the return of the Lord. So coming soon or quickly does not necessarily mean quickly from a human viewpoint. You remember, with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years as one day. His coming quickly does mean that when he comes suddenly. It will all be manifest. It will all be revealed very quickly. We will see that next week in Revelation 1 and verse 7. And the Bible describes his coming as that like a thief in the night. Now, we have this promise of his coming. That's what we considered a couple weeks ago. But we have the concealment of the time, and that should not cause us to fret. It is to keep us striving to be ready. It is to keep us striving to be watchful at all times. Again, Matthew 24 and 25. Now, in Revelation 22, the emphasis and the reinforcement of God's coming judgment and his grace in salvation is intended to get a response from us. It's the Lord Jesus who testifies to these things. Surely I am coming soon. And then the believers respond, Amen. In other words, individually and together as a church, we look upon these things as certain and serious. What things? Well, we look upon this coming day of judgment and the wrath of God. And we look upon this coming day of salvation and grace for those who love the Lord Jesus. And so we look upon those things with a measure of certainty and seriousness. Those things which ought to impact the way that we live in the world today. And I think that's important. And the Lord's Supper is a reminder to us of the way we respond and accepting the truth of coming judgment and wrath. The Lord's Supper reminds us of the way that we ought to accept and respond to the truth of salvation and grace. And that way is twofold. And the first response, and the Lord's Supper reminds us of this, we do not trust in ourselves and our own works. Our works will be tried by fire. And the only way anything survives is because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we come to the Lord's Supper and we examine ourselves, which we are called to do, we examine ourselves to make sure that we are trusting in Christ alone for salvation and that we are building our lives on Him, the solid rock, and not sinking sand. The Lord's Supper reminds us that's the response. That's the response to the Lord's coming. The second response for the believer to Christ's declaration of surely I'm coming soon or I'm coming quickly is for us to say, Amen, come, Lord Jesus. This is what it means. He who testifies to these things, Jesus says, surely I am coming soon. And the believer says, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Do just as you have promised. This is a desire of the whole church. This is a desire of the bride of Christ. Look back to verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let the one who hears say, Come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Jesus says, I am coming quickly. And in faith, we say, Yes, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Now, that's the hope of the believer. That's the true believer's desire. And the thing of it is, we can only have such a desire as we are trusting Him to save us. And as we walk by faith, pleasing the Lord, like Enoch walked. We need to have our house in order. That's the lesson. We need to have our lives in order. I told you that story about the dear lady that Marsh and I knew all those years ago in Windsor, and we would spend Sunday afternoons with her, and how she wouldn't want to leave her apartment and go back to church in the evening with it all in disarray, because she was concerned. She said, "The Lord may come. I wouldn't want Him to find my place all messed up." And I mentioned to you, we kind of laugh at that a little bit. And maybe her theology wasn't altogether right. Her heart was right. Her heart was right. She was looking for the Lord to come. She wanted to be ready. She wanted to be walking with the Lord. It manifested itself in that simple, very practical way. But that's the response of the believer. Jesus says, I am coming soon. And the believer says, Amen. Yes, indeed. Come. Come, Lord Jesus. I'm looking for your coming. I'm desiring you to come. I'm resting in what you did to me for me to save my guilty soul. You bore my sins on Calvary, and because of that, I have forgiveness of all my sins. The Lord's Supper reminds us of that reality. What a glorious thing to meditate upon as we come to the table of the Lord.